Chapter 29. You may think that because I was a successful young geisha with a great many admirers, someone else might have stepped forward to rescue me even if Nobu hadn't. But a geisha in need is hardly like a jewel dropped on the street, which anyone might be happy to pick up. Every one of the hundreds of geisha in Gion was struggling to find a nest from the war in those final weeks, and only a few were lucky enough to find one. So you see, every day I lived with the Arashino family, I felt myself more and more in Nobu's debt. I discovered how fortunate I really was during the spring of the following year when I learned that the geisha, Raiha, had been killed in the firebombing of Tokyo. It was Raiha who had made us laugh by saying that nothing was as bleak as the future except the past. She and her mother had been prominent geisha, and her father was a member of a famous merchant family. To those of us in Gion, no one had seemed more likely to survive the war than Raiha. At the time of her death, she was apparently reading a book to one of her young nephews on her father's estate in the Denechofu section of Tokyo, and I'm sure she probably felt as safe there as she had in Kyoto. Strangely, the same air raid that killed Raiha also killed the great sumo wrestler Miyagiyama. Both had been living in relative comfort. And yet Pumpkin, who had seemed so lost to me, managed to survive the war, though the lens factory where she was working on the outskirts of Osaka was bombed 5 or 6 times. I learned that year that nothing is so unpredictable as who will survive a war and who won't. Mameha survived, working in a small hospital in Fukui Prefecture as a nurse's assistant. But her maid, Tatsumi, was killed by the terrible bomb that fell on Nagasaki, and her dresser, Mr. Ichoda, died of a heart attack during an air raid drill. Mr. Beku, on the other hand, worked on a naval base in Osaka and yet survived somehow. So did General Tottori, who lived in the Suruya Inn until his death in the mid-1950s, and the Baron, too, though I'm sorry to say that in the early years of the Allied occupation, the Baron drowned himself in his splendid pond after his title and many of his holdings were taken away. I don't think he could face a world in which he was no longer free to act on his every whim. As for Mother, there was never a moment's doubt in my mind that she would survive. With her highly developed ability to benefit from other people's suffering, she fell so naturally into work in the gray market that it was as if she'd done it all along. She spent the war growing richer instead of poorer by buying and selling other people's heirlooms. Whenever Mr. Arashino sold a kimono from his collection in order to raise cash, he asked me to contact Mother so she could recover it for him. Many of the kimonos sold in Kyoto passed through her hands, you see. Mr. Arashino probably hoped Mother would forego her profit and hold his kimono a few years until he could buy them back again. But she never seemed to be able to find them. Or at least, that was what she said.